Morning Coffee Talk with Wayne Cook.
Well, good morning. It's time for Coffee Talk with Wayne. Bob the Plumber, our associate here.
I'm an associate now.
Yeah. I thought I'd give you a title.
Wow.
You know, you're entitled to a title.
Entitled to a title. Good deal, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, hey, are you not excited this morning? I mean, I'm going to be with you on a show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this could be a disaster.
Have I sent you an invoice or anything?
Yeah, you haven't done anything yet. After the show.
I'll
figure
okay,
it out.
Yeah.
Get done.
Maybe we'll go have chicken together.
Once we're done, I get done.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to believe this, but Bob the Plumber is raising chickens.
Yes. Yes, I got 10 chickens.
Yeah. Not six like you're supposed to start out with.
No. Well, all right.
So he goes with 10, the number of perfection.
All right. Yeah, no. So I was going to get six.
No, it means completion.
And then I thought, well, what if a couple of them died? So then I told them I wanted eight, and then they said they charged me for eight, but they ordered 10. I guess they thought two might die, and I really wanted eight. And one of them came and was looked very unhealthy, but my wife started nursing it.
It's probably the strongest one now.
It's still the smallest because it was being picked on probably. But anyway, they're all doing fine. Appreciate y'all asking.
What color are they?
All different colors, but mostly sort of gray. And that one that was real sick was black. And so...
You know, we were talking about this earlier, Bob, about how people, they don't even know where food comes from.
Oh.
You know, and taking advantage. I would imagine those that are listening right now, you go to a restaurant and you order your food and you don't even really think about what's inside that food and how it's been grown. And then when you get ready to leave, they throw a ticket in front of you and it's more than $50 when you go out to eat. You may as well, you know what you could do with $50?
In Uganda?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I never buy separate meals. When you get older, you got to be careful not to overeat. So we always, I don't ever remember us buying, you know, each ordering a different meal.
Yeah.
We always just decide.
You're better than I am. I usually ask the people sitting next to me, you going to eat that? Yeah. Yeah. You know, and these restaurants, they're going up like crazy on their prices, but that's okay. Because next year they're supposed to get more Social Security.
Oh, that's all. That's probably a thing of the past.
Hmm. I had to drink some coffee. That's good coffee. Go on. Brighteonstore.com and get some of that brew. Well, it's in bean. You have to get you a grinder, but get some of that coffee. It's wonderful coffee. Do you still grind your coffee or do you buy it already ground?
I always buy it ground. I buy the cheap stuff. I didn't get that from Mike. What a tight one. I use Folgers from Sam's Club. It's dirt cheap. I can't tell the difference. It's like wine. I know you wouldn't drink wine, but I can't tell the difference between a cheap wine and an expensive wine. I just can't tell the difference. So why would you drink something expensive if you can't tell the difference?
Well,
I just buy Folgers.
Yeah, we can. I know that members of the church, whenever we have the Lord's Supper, they will sometimes say, "Is this Equate or is this Welch's?" and we always tell them we get the best Welch's.
So tell the truth now.
Now I don't know. You know,
when Jesus did the Seder, was it called a Seder back then?
But well, it was the Passover.
Yeah, when he did the Passover,
right?
Was that grape juice?
I don't think they had a processing plant that did grape juice or whatever.
They didn't have a Welch's.
No, I don't think they had Welch's.
It was wine, though, right?
Yeah, it was wine.
Now, where does this story...
And also, when he went, and well, even before that, when he went to the wedding, his first miracle, it was wine.
He made grape juice, right? Where did the... do you know? I know. Do you know where the well, I don't want to call it a lie, but it is... That all wine, when it mentions it in the Bible, is really just grape juice. Do you know where that story came from?
No.
There's actually, I looked this up because I was concerned, because I like to drink a glass of wine occasionally. But It there is a Hebrew word that means grape juice that is non-fermented, but it's only used three times. It certainly wasn't what Lot drank. Lot drank Welch's grape juice and then had sex with his daughter and did not remember what he did. Seriously, folks, if you believe that, I mean, honest to goodness, you deserve whatever you're going to get. Because that's crazy. And if your preacher tells you that drinking alcohol is a sin. Now, if he says that he doesn't, you know, that y'all are a group of people that are not going to drink alcohol because of whatever reason, that's fine. I don't care, man. That's more for the rest of us. But if he says it's a sin, you need to get the heck out of there. Because if it's a sin to drink alcohol, then you do not have a Savior. Because Jesus clearly made it. And I'm 100% convinced he drank it. They accused. They said, you know, you're a wine bibber and a glutton.
Yeah.
They accused him of drinking wine and eating.
Won't drink the cup until when? What are we going to do when we get to the grape?
Yeah, and then he's going to hand you some. and he says, I will not drink it again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So he's going to hand you a glass of wine, and you're going to say, oh, no, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that, folks. Anyway.
Well, I want to start out this morning, get your Bibles, and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter this morning, that's in the New Testament, Bob, if you're having trouble finding it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah. But anyway, it's 1 Peter. Go to chapter 4. You know who Peter was, Bob?
Yeah. He was Cephas.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4.
You know, yeah, 1 Peter 4.
It's only got three chapters.
So anyway, we were talking about, you know, working the land, farming, and here was a guy that was a great fisherman. You know, they lived off the earth that God had given them. And then we talked yesterday a little bit about sorcery and about pharmakia.
Thank you.
Yeah, pharmakia, and how that word sorcery came is, well, the Greek for it is pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy and pharmaceutical, which God says stay away from it. Yet,
yeah, do you think some of our listeners have tried to put us on hold now because they forgot to take their pharmaceutical drugs this
Could
morning?
Have.
They got to run
Could
drugs.
Have.
Because I always forget to take my nutrition.
Yeah, so, the reason for that is you don't have one of the... Have you seen the new pill boxes that they... the new pill boxes that they have now in your pharmacies? Have you seen them lately?
No.
All right, go down the aisle. Look for pill. You will laugh. They used to be about the size of a dime that you could put everything. Now they're boxes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they're as big as... just look at your key ring, folks, that you push the button to turn your car on with and all that little plastic thing. That's how big they are now, the little boxes. Let me pull this one out here a moment. They're that big, Bob.
What kind of drug is that?
Well, I'm just saying that.
He's got his key ring, folks.
And then they're about this deep, you know, about a half an inch to an inch deep. You know why? Because, and then they have them for morning, afternoon, and evening. They're done in three different sections.
I have no idea.
All right, now what it is this box is about this big now.
Well, you're talking about one of those
pill boxes.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I have.
Monday through.
I had one of those when I used to go to Africa to keep different nutrition, you know, all my vitamin C, whatever I was taking at the time.
Yeah, but that's not originally what they were using.
I thought you were talking about those little child-proof pharmaceutical drug things that I never could open anyway.
Yeah.
Back when I was stupid enough to even have
the hinges and the locks and all that are on the pill bottles. Yeah. Like getting into Fort Knox, but they've learned how to do it now because kids are taking drugs left and right. They're going into their grandmother's medicine cabinet. But anyway, I just thought it humorous to see. No, it's really not. It's really deadly. Of all the number of pills that people take. I was talking with one of our ladies in the church the other day. You know how many pills that her husband takes a day?
I bet I know who you're talking about. Get the guy with the seven doctors. Is that the guy? Well, whatever. It's not important.
52 pills a day.
Wow. Does he even eat? You don't need to eat food.
No. You can live off the little...
Yeah, your stomach's full all the time.
Yeah. But anyway, getting away from that. But I just thought it's real interesting. And here we have Social Security coming up so they can buy those pill boxes.
Thank God.
And buy more. You know, they're drugging. You can go now and get pharmaceutical drugs for nothing. You know, they don't charge you at the pharmacy. How much do I owe you? $2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's costly.
Look at all the
government's
I'm missing
paying for everything.
Because I'm
come so get your free flu shot.
Yeah.
And they're getting money for those. The pharmacy.
You know, you can go to more than one place. You can get more than one. You have to give
just
a
load them
name,
up.
Maybe.
All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, being stewards of God's grace. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Now he's talking to his disciples here, not Peter is speaking here, and he's referring to, you got Messianic Jews, you've got those that believe that Jesus is Lord of all, and that happened, you know, up until the time that Cornelius became a Christian. That's 7 years since this time. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. And here's a definition of what the Gentiles want to do. Now, yours may be different. You're from King James. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Here's the list. Living in sensuality. Is that what yours says?
No, it says something.
Okay.
A big word, lasciviousness.
Okay. Passions.
Whatever.
Drunkenness. Orgies. Drinking parties.
Excesses of wine. By the way,
yeah.
If this is the first time you've listened to us, we were not recommending you get a flu shot. We were being facetious.
Right.
We were being, yeah. I was feeling
yeah, I don't want people.
Somebody out there just tuned us in and go, oh, wow, this is a Christian program. They're saying get a, now this ain't Franklin Graham. We're telling you do not ever take any kind of shot whatsoever, nor eat any kind of pill that they give you. I mean, they say there are some pharmaceutical stuff that, but according to God, it's all bad. So I'd say stay away from it all. And anyway, so I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, but there is.
But I was afraid somebody tuned in for the first time, and I didn't want to leave them with the impression that we think any kind of shot is good, because they're all evil. Satan's giving it to you. And any pharmaceutical drug, that's Satan handing it to you. He may look like your pharmacist, same guy that told everybody to get the jab, the COVID jab. He's the same guy that murdered a baby yesterday, murdered a 5-year-old. So you think he cares about you if he'd kill a 5-year-old?
Yeah, and they didn't used to give the needles and all. They just put it in a cube of sugar, gave it to you, and said, put it under your mouth. Take it.
Under your mouth. Is that your tongue?
Your tongue. All right, let's get on
back
with it.
Back to verse 3.
Verse 4 now.
Well, you didn't finish verse 3.
Okay, verse 3. Well, I was interrupted.
Yeah, by who?
For the time. All right, let's go back to verse 3. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, peer pressure, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Who does that?
That would be the Lord Jesus.
That's right. Himself. Well, when you deal with the living and the dead.
Yeah. This says the quick and the dead.
Yeah.
I always think of Steve Munger. He was like the quickest person I ever tried to guard when I played basketball.
Who?
Who? You sound like an owl.
Who?
Steve Munger.
Isn't that something how you remember names of some people that you went to high school with?
Yeah.
You know.
Actually, he went to a different high school. But
did he? Did he finish? Football. Did he finish?
Or? Oh, he was brilliant. He was the youngest president of First Alabama Bank and the youngest CEO of First Alabama Bank ever. He's a buddy of mine. Used to be. He doesn't like me anymore. I was telling him about chemtrails and about the vaccine, and he was super rude to me. Last summer. He won't be on this planet much longer.
Well, do you remember when you wanted to become a plumber instead of a professional basketball or baseball player?
Yeah. First time I missed a layup, I knew I needed to find something else to do.
Is that when you decided to go to the men's locker room and work on the toilet?
I do remember it at halftime one time. We were sitting in there, and I'm going, dadgum, I had 0 points at halftime. And I said,
well, nobody wants to throw the ball to you.
No, but I had shot several times.
How does it feel to sit during the first half and then also sit at halftime?
No. I played the whole first half, missed a bunch of shots. We're sitting in there at halftime, and I said, dang, I must have missed 8 or 10 shots in the first half. I ain't hit nothing. And Steve Munger looked over at me and said, 12, but who's counting?
Wow.
Seriously. He had a very, very witty sense of humor. Very witty guy, but real quiet. Didn't talk much. Super smart. He made like 33 or 4 on the SAT. Super smart guy.
Wow, I made 100.
It only had 36. Oh. Or 35, 36.
All right, verse 6. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. How does that happen? Have you thought about that?
Actually, I was thinking about that a lot.
Who are the dead? Are those that are the ones that are walking around dead?
Yeah, I was thinking about that they might live according to God in the spirit. That's the part I was thinking about. I've been thinking about that a lot. You know, that we can live like God. If you read the Bible all the time, there's something supernatural that happens. It's not that because I've read the Bible in its entirety 200 times that I know more information than you know, although I probably do. That's not the issue. The issue is that the power of God permeates your soul as you read, unknowingly. We're not gathering information. We're having fellowship with God. That's the key. And I don't know. It's like that crazy quantum energy wellness bed that I have. You lay on that stupid bed, and supposedly it's permeating your body and is
unknowingly.
Unknowingly.
Right.
Doing something with your DNA. And so I'm going, I'm laying on that bed most of the time going,
are you impatient? Sometimes you just want to get up?
Well, I do. I rarely finish the whole session. And then I'm sitting there going, this is BS. I'm being, somebody's mocking me. It's what, okay. So then this morning, as Leonor was telling me, she got on the bed last night and fell asleep for an hour and a half. She said, I could not go back to sleep. I was up all night. It gave me so much energy. And I've heard that from other people. And now I'm beginning to reflect. I've had a lot of really good days lately. You know, days when my mind's real clear and I get a lot done.
Right.
I had a great day yesterday. I got a lot done.
And so you contributed to not staying on the bed an entire hour?
No. I'm just wondering if that crazy bed ain't doing something. But back to my original point, folks. If you'll read your Bible every day and you say, well, I don't understand. You know, I got to the sons of God in Genesis 6 and I got confused, so I quit reading it. Well, you dummy.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
yeah.
What a dummy. You're not going to understand everything. This is God, the eternal God, who created us, trying to convey information to us and convey his heart to us. And there are things you're not going to understand. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. So there's things you're not going to understand. Get over it.
Yeah.
But sit there and just enjoy sitting in Jesus' lap while he reads the Bible to you, while you hear the voice of God, and give it time.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is you've got to give it time. The fact of the matter is this, that we've been anticipating, because we don't know the time, the hour, it could happen like a thief in the night, when our Lord is coming back. And some people get to the point to saying, well, he's never coming back. It was said by my great-grandmother, my grandmother's and grandmother. Listen, folks, it's been shared with since the time he ascended.
Well, but Joel said, you know, you're anticipating the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord's going to be terrifying to most people, most, quote, Christians who sitting around going, yeah, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Well, you clown. Yeah, it's been any time with Jesus your entire life. And now you're excited. He's going to come back. He's just going to kick your butt. That's all that's going to happen. You're not a Christian. A Christian is one who is one with Christ, indwelt by Christ. And your job.
And he's dwelling in them.
Yeah, and your job every day is to go forth and show him how thankful you are that you don't have to go to hell. Is that what you've been doing? What did you do yesterday to show Jesus how much you loved him, how much you appreciate him? Did you feed the homeless? Did you donate money to Judicial Watch? Well, Judicial Watch, I don't know if he's a Christian. Yeah. You don't know if anybody's a Christian. Get off your butt and start using what the resources God gave you. You know, there's people out there who are not Christians, like Alex Jones. I don't know that Alex Jones isn't a Christian. I do not believe that he is. He may be. But that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He's given the gospel out. He's fighting evil. So give him some money, man. It ain't gonna hurt you. If you wait to use your money for the perfect person to give it to,
it's wasted.
You ain't never gonna give it away. Yep. And that's how we got where we are today. That's the biggest problem on the earth today, is that people even that fancy themselves Christians are hoarding money. You know, if you're born again, check this out, folks. This is, you heard it first from Bob the Plumber. If you're born again, then all your money is like Monopoly money. It's like play money. It means nothing. Because you either love God and you can't have it both ways. You can't love God and money. So if you love God, you don't hate money, but you don't care about it. And you know, oftentimes I'll be just at Walmart, like that elderly that was checking you out the other day. Sometimes I'll just give them a $20 bill and say, be blessed, you know, because that really impacts people a lot of times when you just give them something. And you should tell them that Jesus loves you, but I hate that. I hate that phrase, because that's not true. So I don't like to do that. So oftentimes, and this is bad on my part, and maybe y'all can help me out and come up with something, but I don't always even mention the Lord Jesus. But I hope they understand, which is stupid to say. But anyway.
Let them ask the question to you, Bob. What is it that makes you want to do that? You know, I don't know. There's sometimes they'll inquire of you. Yeah. Now, why are you doing this?
I honestly think it's the Holy Spirit that compels me, because I don't feel that way all the time. Now, I tell you something else. That, you know, if you're ever out at a restaurant,
are they even going to understand it if you say, "Well, the Holy Spirit compels you"? You can't even tell them that.
Well,
how are they going to understand?
Well, I don't tell.
All right, so when they ask you,
I'm telling you.
I know that, but when they ask you, why are you doing this?
Well, they.
What's your reaction?
Nobody's ever asked. They just
really?
they're usually grateful, and they say, "Well, thank you." But anyway,
next, you know, that's what they're saying. You know, oh, thank you very much. Next, go on down. I got to check these other people out.
Hey, that reminds me. Can I tell a story? You want?
No. Go ahead.
So I'm going on a mission trip with this guy, this local guy that used to live here. What was his name? He was a Spanish guy,
Johnny.
No, super good-looking Spanish guy. J.C. Gomez, and we're going to Honduras after the hurricane came through Honduras, and we're flying down there, and we're going with a group of people from Chattanooga, and they're the Presbyterian people that are like the Marines, they call themselves, because they were the ones that are willing to go anywhere, go in first, and do stuff.
Who sponsored this trip?
Super stuff, I don't know, Presbyterian Church probably. Okay. And so we're going down there. So we're flying out of Knoxville. And so I'm packing bags and I'm going, you know, JC's younger than me. He was actually in the Pan American Games. You know that pommel horse thing? You get on the pommel horse and you flip your feet around and you do your hands.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. I got on one of those in front of Walmart one time. Put a quarter in and went for it.
Not that.
Put a quarter in there and they went to town.
Not that kind of horse. But that's another funny story we'll tell sometime. But anyway, so I packed all the tents and all the heavy stuff in J.C. Gomez's bags, and then I just had all the lightweight stuff, you know. It wasn't done right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob the Plumber, the deceiver.
It wasn't done right. And so we fly to Miami, and we meet up with these people down there, and we go up to the counter to go international. Now you got to check your bags, and the lady at the counter goes, can I see your visa? And JC goes, oh ma'am, you don't need a visa to go to Honduras.
He says, oh no.
He says I'm and this was 1 hour before the flight was leaving. He says I'm from.
Honduras.
Colombia.
Oh, okay.
No, he's from Colombia. He says, I fly out of the country all the time. Said, you don't need a visa. And he turned on that Latin charm, you know. And she was a Spanish girl, you know, and he was a real charming guy. He really was. Good looking guy, great guy. Turned on that charm and she looked him in the eyes and said, next.
Oh no.
Oh man.
Let him go through.
And I'm sitting over there and she ran him off. Get out of my face.
I thought she was saying next person you go through.
No, she ran him off. And I'm sitting there looking at those two bags, and she said, leave your bags there and go get a visa. And it was less than an hour.
Can you get a visa then?
Listen to this. He ran out the door. He ran and got in a taxi. He headed down Lejeune Road to the Honduran embassy.
You are kidding me. An hour before the flight.
Got stuck in traffic. Ran over, you know, roads in Miami are one lane, one way, or one way, one road. He ran two roads over, got in another taxi. I don't even think he paid the guy. Got in taxi, goes to Honduran embassy, goes in there. It's packed full of people. He starts hollering, I've got to get a visa. My flight's about to leave. Exactly. Goes to the door. It's locked.
Puts on the charm real quick.
Beats on the door. They open the door. He explains to them, and they tell him it ain't going to happen, and he demands to see the boss, takes him into the boss's office, tells him what he needs. He said, well, I'd love to help you. I need to make a copy of this, that, and the other, but our copier's broke. Runs back out the door, goes downstairs to a real estate company, goes in there and tells there's a lady at the copier, told me she never said a word, told her what he needed, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she moved her stuff, made the copy, gave it to him, never said a word, went back upstairs, didn't have to say a word. People parted, ran through the room, went through the door, got his visa, came back to the airport. Meanwhile...
You're having to carry those heavy bags.
No, I can't touch them. They're not,
oh, that's right. They're not ready. That's right, yeah.
Because they're checking them to put on the airplane. So that thing stopped.
Okay.
So watch the clock. Tell me what we got. So I went down and met the people from Chattanooga. And when I came back, the bags were missing. And when I went back down to tell the people from Chattanooga that, too bad, you know, let's get on the plane, he was down there hugging them. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we got 2 seconds. Anyway, we'll be right back right after these messages. We're going to finish the story of Bob going down to Honduras. We'll be back in just a moment.
More time flies.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. jandmjewelry.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination.
Welcome back. We are having a great conversation right in the middle of a story that Bob is telling us about. He and his friend, what's his name again?
J.C. Gomez.
J.C. Gomez going down to Honduras, and the story is that he didn't have his visa. And so we're into this story, and so anyway.
Well, I thought I was going to have time to finish it, but yeah. Long story short, this clown left the Miami airport, Miami-Dade County Airport, and went all the way to the Honduran embassy, got a visa, sure, and was back in 45 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
I had gone down to the gate.
Wouldn't
have
happened if he was in New York.
I'd gone down to the gate and introduced myself, and I told everybody down there of what had happened and that he wasn't coming, and I had to confess that I'd put my tent. Because everything in where we were going was to the island of Guanaja, I believe, or Roatan. Yeah, Roatan was a big island. Then we went to an even tinier island. And so I wasn't going to have a tent, and it was going to be a mess.
I can't believe your memory.
Well,
you know, your memory, this quantum bed must be really working, because your memory is unbelievable.
This is a great story, though.
And you hadn't told it in a long time either.
Check this out. And I was in the middle of a 40-day fast, and I hadn't eaten anything at the time, like 36 days or something like that. And so when I went back to check on those bags for some strange reason, and they were gone, when I got back down, we were about to load, get on the airplane, and there was JC talking to everybody and having fun. And they loved JC because, see, he was the only person that spoke Spanish. So he was like the interpreter for the whole thing, and so everybody loved him. And we even got it, and that's true. We even got into a situation where we were taking an airplane, a small airplane from Honduras to the island Roatan, and there was only room for like
four
11
people.
Eleven,
big jet.
And one person couldn't go, and they put me on an airplane to Belize, and I actually went to Belize, And then we got to Belize. It was almost evening.
Nobody spoke English in Belize.
I think the lady on the plane did. But anyway, everybody got off the plane but one drunk guy. And he was pitching a fit. He wanted to get to Roatan that night. Apparently, he's pretty wealthy. And so they reluctantly agreed. I was going to spend the night in a strange country.
Did you find out what denomination he was?
Yeah, he's probably Baptist. But anyway, so once we got to Roatan, we started doing our ministry. They found out that I wasn't eating, and they all gave me a hard time. They even literally came to me and said I was jeopardizing the entire
You've done that all your life.
Because I wasn't eating. But what they really didn't like about me is I was always trying to play Bible challenge with them. And it turns out none of those people ever read the Bible. Just like everywhere else. This is how I tell you. I'm telling you people, nobody's reading the Bible. So we're up on a roof. We're putting plywood on a roof. And we need a shim. And I go, who in the Bible was named Shimmy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a simple question.
Right.
You know, most everybody should know that. And they got mad at me. Why are you always doing that? And I said, because the Word of God's important. Oh, shut up and go to work. You know, they didn't like me because I was all about the Word of God. And they were all about, you know, serving and working hard and glorifying God. You cannot glorify God apart from the Word of God. I don't care how much work you do. That's why it says strive to enter the narrow gate. It ain't easy, folks.
Right.
And by the way, we got to do that. Luke 14. One of these days, we got to read Luke 14. That is a very powerful chapter.
Well, maybe we can do that next time.
Yeah,
next we'll
time.
See.
I thought you were going to do it now.
No, we're not going
to
do it now.
Let's get back to the Word of God.
All right, let's go to. We're in 1 Peter, folks. If you're just now joining us, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're at. Let's go to verse 7. All right. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
Well, do you know anybody that really shows hospitality? No. Do you know any Christians that have people in their homes all the time? And I'm not talking about their cousins. I'm talking about homeless people.
No. We have a committee. It's called the Hospitality Committee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. My bad. So is that like the discipleship group that meets every Thursday night at 9? That's what Jesus said, dude. He said, you know, go and make disciples. So you have to have at least 1 hour a week. That's what he did. Didn't he meet with his disciples? Was it Wednesday night or Thursday night? He met with his disciples for an hour.
I think it was. We'll have to go back and check that.
Yeah,
We'll
look it up for you.
And see what it is. But anyway, a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You know, when you were talking about the trip to Honduras, Bob, you know, they must have put more of their energy into that of their giftedness. And so they said, you know, I can nail shingles or whatever.
People would rather work, people that consider themselves on fire for God, they would rather work or pray than listen to God. Mm-hmm. People don't have a clue. You know why? They're serving a God they don't even know.
Yeah, that's when you go on these mission trips many times. Here's what happens. You start doing mud outs or whatever, getting going. Let's say you're going down to Fort Myers and you're helping those families. What is the first thing that many of the people do? When they get down there, they gather those people around and say, oh, I'm so sorry this has happened to your home and everything. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Let's get in a circle and let's pray.
Absolutely nothing wrong with prayer.
No, but why not go down there and give them a word of encouragement through the Word of God? I mean, that's what they need is the water, and the water is the Word of God. As each has received a gift, we're in verse 10, folks. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Then as we continue to read this, in verse 12 it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." That's one of the things that's happening now, even in the church. Doom and gloom. Oh, doom and gloom. Listen, folks. Lift your head high. Your Redeemer liveth. He's coming. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You know, what do you think Peter means by that? If you are insulted for the name of Christ, we're fools for Christ. Are we not to be fools for Christ?
That's a great song by Michael Card. Well, it's not named Fools for Christ, but it's in it. It
talks about being a fool for Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't know Michael Carr, he's out of Nashville, great singer.
Great.
His
great
words and all that he shares with on his songs are biblical. I mean, they're very, very good.
Extremely reformed.
His name is Michael Carr.
C-A-R-D.
Yeah.
Check
Card.
Him out, man. He's
Michael Carr. Look it up.
Wonderful voice.
Yep. Plays guitar, plays other instruments too, piano and all. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. There's a lot of people meddling today. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Verse 17, "For it is a time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore," this is an important statement. Whenever it says therefore, you want to understand what the following scripture that you read was therefore. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls," listen, "to a faithful Creator while doing good." Let me say that one more time. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, what did you find, Bob?
Well, I want y'all to listen to this just for a minute. This is Michael Card, and I want to play just a little bit of God's Own Fool. Listen to this. Yeah. This guy's got an amazing voice.
"Seems I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, it must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame."
Oh, he's got a beautiful voice.
"But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. In our foolishness thought we were wise.
Great singing, you know. And he's not a young kid.
Oh, no. Let me tell you, folks. I met him. So I went to an Israeli thing. You met the guys that I know from Israel that took Dr. Keys and I.
Yeah.
We went to Uganda. We talked about that and did the video by Chloe Dioxide. Then we went to Israel, and we were treated like royalty by these guys. Well, they had a meeting in Nashville, and their annual fundraising thing.
Right.
And Michael Card was going to be singing there. And I told my wife, I said, "I'll bet you anything in the world Michael Card loves Alan Keyes." And if no other reason, there's a bunch of reasons to be friends with Alan Keyes.
Right.
Mike Adams loves Alan Keyes.
Right.
General Flynn when he met Alan Keyes, first two words out of General Flynn's mouth was, "Mr. President."
Yeah.
And so anyway, we're going to Nashville, and I'm telling Leonore, I said, keep your eyes open for Michael Card. Guarantee he's going to make a beeline to Alan. And sure enough, we're standing there, you know.
Doesn't pay any attention to you or Leonore. He just beelines it.
Of course, he don't know us, you know. And he comes over there, and he comes right to Alan. And I'm on that, man. I'm right there. And I don't even think I think I let them introduce each other or say hi to each other. But I interrupted pretty quick, and I told him that I wanted him to sing a song for us, for IMTV. And he said he'd be more than happy to do that. Super nice guy, man.
Wow.
Super nice guy. Then when he went to leave, he brought his own little table and his little piano thing that he did.
Right.
And he sang "Joy in the Journey," I believe. Man, that's another gorgeous song. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So when he went to leave, I wanted to help him, so I went and I tried to help carry his stuff out. And he wouldn't let me carry anything.
Huh.
He said, "No, he'd been doing that." But I forget how he said it, but he's a super, super, super nice guy.
You know, we were trying to get him to come to a concert at one time. We still need to do that.
We sure should.
You know, and have him come sing.
We dropped the ball on that. He talked to us about it.
Yeah.
We had to set a date. We never could set a date.
Yeah.
But anyway, wonderful guy.
Michael Card. And if you go on the, go on DuckDuckGo and get him.
Anywhere you can find music, Apple Music, probably a bad place, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy.
And here's the thing about listening to this kind of music, it's scriptural.
This guy's really scriptural.
Yeah, and that helps.
Yeah.
Instead of hearing some of this mess we're having today.
Well, what was it? Yeah, he was saying, we in our weakness thought we were strong. He became helpless to show we were wrong.
Yeah.
Huh? That's inspired stuff there, man.
Yep.
I'm telling you. We in our weakness thought we were strong. He became helpless to show we were wrong.
Yeah.
How crazy is that, man?
Yeah.
That's good stuff, folks.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Well, anyway, we're going to meet again this afternoon. We're going to be on Bob the Plumber Show at 11 o'clock.
Actually, 11 o'clock is not afternoon. See, noon is like 12.
Yeah, but it's close.
You were thinking like in Atlantic time, wherever that is.
Mm.
But whatever.
Sorry. I hadn't been on the quantum bed today, evidently.
I think it makes you a smart aleck. I need to get off that bed.
Yeah. I got to get on it. I got to get on that bed. And it's amazing that you're helping treat a young little girl, probably a nine-year-old girl, from that bed, and she's hundreds of miles away.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing to see how that.
Yeah, I hope that little girl's getting better. I would give you her name so you could pray for her, but that would be a no-no.
Yeah.
So I can't do that, but...
God knows
exactly
what she needs.
But yeah, there's technologies out there, folks, where you can analyze people from a distance. And I know it may sound... If it's the first you've heard about it, that's okay.
Yeah.
You'll hear more about it as time, if time continues. But I've known about people being able to analyze and treat people with different modalities. My doctor.
I wonder how our Lord does that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're talking about prayer, and you're asking God to do a healing in your life or help provide something for someone. Well, does He come bodily and come do that?
Well, but He didn't in the New Testament. You know,
right.
I mean, the guy, what was it, the centurion sent his representatives, his soldiers, two guys maybe, whatever, he sent somebody to see Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, tell him, you know, everything's going to be okay. And then he found out, what hour was that? That was 2 o'clock. Yeah, that's when she got better.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it did happen in the past, and it can happen today.
Our Lord is not natural. He's supernatural, folks.
Yeah.
He is supernatural, and... You know, I think about the fact when he resurrected, he just had that stone removed in order for them to get in, not for him to get out. He could move, you know. I mean, if he can enter into a room without opening the door, he can certainly.
You know, I did a show. I was on Kerry Rivera's show yesterday, and I went off on how stupid people are believing that Satan, you know, it can overthrow God. Because if you're
Folks, God created Satan.
I know. I mean, I got tickled at myself yesterday thinking about it, you know, that Satan's coming to you now and telling you he can give you fame and fortune, and that if you'll align with him, because he's got a lot of other people signed up, that y'all are going to somehow overthrow God. Well, do you not know what the definition of God is?
Yeah.
Seriously, folks, yeah. The eternal one that has always existed and then created Satan and all of
even
us.
Even before time.
And now Satan's come to you and says, you know, I'll give you fame and fortune, and together we're going to overthrow God. And you bought into that garbage? That's hilarious. I mean, it's sad, but it's foolish, and it's crazy, and it's and you're going to end up in hell forever.
You know,
with your boy.
Yeah. One of the things that I want to kind of share with our audience who's listening today is the fact that trials and tribulations are coming, folks, and they're coming each and every day. And I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, a storm like that just hit Florida. I'm talking about in our everyday lives. You're facing trials and tribulations because of the fact that you've taken the jab and have, that's a trial that you're having to face right now, because you're saying, man, my I've never had this heart condition. I've never had the feelings that I'm having right now. I've never had a doctor's report saying that my blood is messed up. Well, it's coming. That's a trial that you're going through right now.
But, you know, we bring a lot of that on
ourselves.
Because when I hear about all this stuff, I think about my life. I mean, talk about a charmed life. I've never had any problems at all to speak of.
Right.
Anything that I consider really an issue. But I've been reading the Bible an hour a day now for 35 years. And if you'd have been reading your Bible, you'd have never got that jab, because a long time ago, you would have learned to trust God with your health and not trust any men.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with your soul. You've trusted your soul to your preacher. Because he told you how to get saved. He told you how to stay saved, blah, 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 blah. But you never read the Bible. You don't know. What does God say about that?
Yeah.
So,
here's a good testimony for you, too. Okay. Well, you know, after we had talked about Revelation 18, if you hadn't read Revelation 18, you need to read it, because it is so true for what's going on today. But I had come home yesterday evening and was sitting there drinking some of my,
beer?
No, I hadn't made the beer, but I had made some chlorine dioxide, had mixed it up, because my throat was a little hurting, my nose has been running, whatever. I think it's these allergies or whatever. So I went ahead and mixed up and went ahead and just did 8 drops and just took it, you know. And anyway, I told my wife, I said, "Hun, today during our show, we're talking about Revelation 18. I said, well, you ought to read it and just see what's happening today." About 30 minutes later, she comes into the living room. She'd been in the back bedroom, and she came out with her Bible. She had her finger in the chapter 18, and she said, "This is unbelievable."
Uh-huh.
And here's what she said. This is what she, I didn't tell her. "Sounds like they're talking about America."
Wow.
"Sounds like John is talking about America."
Mm.
So see, the Word of God illuminated in her, and I was praying that she would read. I didn't know she was going to do it that fast.
No.
She came back in. Folks, read Revelation. Just read it. Read Revelation 18. You ought to be reading it anyway, you know, during some time.
And take your chlorine dioxide, but don't do like Wayne.
I know, but mine, I take it every morning.
Do you?
It every morning.
I thought
I was just having, you know, kind of a bad throat.
Well, there's nothing wrong with taking extra.
Yeah.
If you think something's coming on.
Yeah.
And but that's the way most people take it.
The reason I did that, I had asked you about that the other day anyway, about taking it for sore throat. And you talked to me about DMSO and such you can put in with it. And I just thought, I'm going to go ahead and take 8 drops. And what I did with it, folks, I gargled with it before I swallowed it.
That's good, though.
But this morning, it's a whole lot better.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I noticed you sounded a little raspy this morning.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's better, though. It's not as bad. But anyway.
So where is rasp found in the Bible?
Rasp?
Rasputin. No, I'm just teasing. But, hey, that's what I'm talking about, folks. In normal conversation, when something comes up, rasp is not in the Bible, by the way. But if something comes up, just ask. Ask whoever you're with that fancies himself a Christian. Like, I was having dinner with a guy. We were having ham. And so I just asked him, I ask everybody at the table, where's ham found in the Bible?
And Next to Sham.
Yeah, I know, but nobody knew. And this was a pastor, a Baptist pastor, by the way. And I looked at him and I said, well, don't you want to answer that? And his wife spoke up and said, we're New Testament Christians. I promise you.
Wow.
You know, yeah, he had a very tiny church.
Hey, I found this.
A minute left. Oh.
Anyway, people, get into Bible Challenge, even if your church doesn't want to do it.
They don't.
Yeah, go ahead and have it in your home. Invite your neighbors and all over as well. All right, so folks, listen, John Diamond's going to be on right after us at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catch in the morning at 11 o'clock. Bob the Plumber Show is out on every Friday. Going to have a great, magnificent guest. I'm surprised how he even got this guest that's coming on
very
today.
Very important guy.
He's a world famous pastor. It's hard to get him. So he's going to be on at 11 today with Bob the Plumber.
Pastor Wayne Cook.
So be there and or be square.
PrepWithMike.com.
Yep.
Get ready, folks. I got a bunch of, I sat down and ordered a bunch more stuff from Sam's Club. You can still get hundreds of pounds of rice and beans from Sam's for little or nothing. And
Bob cleaned out his garage yesterday to get more room for rice and all that. You know, I noticed
your Ranger buckets.
I need to come over and bring a truck and get some of those Ranger buckets from you anyway.
You better bring a gun. You ain't getting
all right, folks. Listen, join us at 8 o'clock tomorrow again for.
We're done.
See you then.